Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with coach, cosmic guide, storyteller, and caregiver, Maria Alejandra Fernandez. In addition to all of her professional roles, she is a caregiver to her husband living with ALS. Over the past 6 years, she has guided hundreds of women to create breakthroughs in their lives, businesses, and purpose-driven missions. For the past 4 years, she has been caring for her husband as he battles this incredibly challenging disease. She thrives in ways that didn't seem possible given the circumstances. We cover her incredible journey and so much more. Enjoy.
Well, it's great to meet you. Thank you for taking a minute out. And before we get into your work and your life and what you're doing, I want to begin our conversation with something that happened to all of us on the planet 4 years ago. We are all wrapping our heads around this pandemic. How did you get through that COVID time period and how did it change you?
Yeah, I mean, it was really profound for us specifically because my husband was diagnosed with ALS literally right when everything was shutting down. Wow. So on top of pandemic, this was a huge life shift. So it was like this double massive change. And for us personally, of course, everything was turned upside down. And at the same time, I think the fact that we all went into this cocooning, my husband and I, our son was 3 at the time, it gave us this opportunity to really sort of settle into this new awkward, strange reality we were stepping into with his diagnosis. And it almost gave us some space to really be able to begin processing it ourselves without a lot of external noise. So in a way, it was, I think the timing was was beneficial for us in a bizarre way. There was nothing good about it, but when I look back, it would have been very different if we were kind of like just in regular life, and that made it that much more spacious for us to be present with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. It almost seems as though it was, I mean, nothing's opportune about it, but at least you got the chance to breathe and figure it out.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that really set the tone for how we then decided to live with this thing and continue to evolve with this thing. So that was really huge for both of us, I think.
So let's get into the heart and soul of the work that you do. I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders. It's career day. And one of the kids says, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" How do you answer that child?
I love that. I make magic for a living and I inspire for a living and I help people tap into their own wellspring of their own essence. And I do it in a way that's very much as life is happening around us. So life is hard and it's challenging and it challenges me every single day. And that's how I know that we can create this brightness in the middle of dark things. So I would say to this third grader, you know, we can find within us a light that we didn't even know was possible. And that's what I want to do in my life and help others do the same.
What did you want to be in the third grade? What was your dream?
I wanted to be a chemist and an actress. Right. I remember always saying when people ask me, and I think in a way I joke that it's like, oh, I wanted to be a chemist and an actress. So I sort of became like an alchemist in life. And it makes sense because there was something about living sort of like this enchanting aspect of performance and embodying different things. And then the chemistry of really being fascinated by how things transformed from one thing to the other and the power that we have to do that. And so, that was my dream.
So take me back to where you were born and raised and how these seeds of the clairvoyance and the intellect that goes into this and feeling life, how did all of these kind of begin and develop into you helping others right now?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. My dad's Cuban. He left Cuba when he was very young and pretty much lived in Puerto Rico his whole life. And my mom is Puerto Rican. So I have these two beautiful also like ancestral lines of a lot of growth and power and challenge and rising through all of that. And then I'm born in Puerto Rico. I'm the eldest of 3 of 2 younger brothers. And ever since I was very little, I remember, again, feeling this enchantment about life and also this deep wisdom. Like I can say it that way now, but this, I was always drawn to any conversation that was happening, drawn to the things that the adults were talking about, like just really feeling this curious thirst all the time, and a lot of creativity, and a lot of also, my parents have this have like gave me these two dual gifts of my dad being this very practical, pragmatic kind of guy who I really looked up to, and then my mom being this more like magical, soulful, wild woman who I also really looked up to, and both of them not really embodying the fullness of who they were, right? But because you fall into these, like, okay, you sort of go into the track of life. But I could see both of them. I could see sort of like beyond what life makes you be, because you're parenting and you're raising kids and all of that. And I think now we have so much more opportunities to speak about, have these conversations and really talk about what's really true for me. And so being young, I always had a this definitely connection to spirituality and something that felt very natural for me and really quite beautiful. I've also had two incredible grandmothers that I now continue to look up to in, they're no longer on earth, but they also showed me these two facets of what it was like to be a woman and go through challenges and emerge and rise and be, and I think all of that and what I saw as this potential in others that went untapped because life kind of squeezes and crunches you up has made me that much more encouraged and passionate about finding those points of light that we have of what you desire to share with the world. And how I really believe that is entirely possible, regardless of the circumstances. And so, you fast forward through, I worked in the corporate landscape for many years, always, under the glare of fluorescent lighting and feeling like, what is, like, having jobs that I always found something that I loved about them, but it wasn't me. And so that was also a really big formative time for me. Always living in this dual reality of just all this magic, but all of this like reality and practical things. And so combining those two streams became this inner quest. And the more I leaned into it, the more I realized that dissolving those two into each other is where, and having the freedom to express yourself, that's the ultimate gift of peace. There's no amount of property or success or anything that can give you that feeling. And so, and then, now that my life was really squeezed through this like eye of the needle of testing everything, every fiber of my beliefs, of my hope, of my grief. I'm someone who is incredibly optimistic, and I am sad and grieving all the time because, my husband has a terminal illness. So he has been losing the ability to use his arms, his legs, to eat, to speak, to everything. And so facing that decline of life, but also then seeing the opposite of this emergence of the truth of life is something that has transformed me completely. And I will never, ever be the same. And I feel so blessed to be witness to that, as devastating as it is. And so I'm in this position where there's very little you can say to like BS me out of like, oh yeah, but no, but I'm like, it's powerful. And it doesn't mean I don't get where people are and I have a lot of compassion and all that, but it's all there. It's all there for you. And, like what you're doing right now is so powerful. How we get to know each other and each other's stories and connect the dots between like that self-expression, you opening up the space for that kind of storytelling and you offering that as like you're like this channel for all of that beauty and truth to keep like rippling out. I mean, this is it. This is like what we, this is it. This is what will heal us. So, yeah.
I always feel like this realm of what we're doing with podcasting and getting into the stories is a modern version of therapy. It's one of the best ways that we can connect as humans and understand each other. You know, I always think about the quote with what you were saying there, living through that. Charles Bukowski said, "What matters the most is how well we walk through the fire." And I think that's the truth. And I know from a personal standpoint, my son's on the spectrum and he's 19, and I've lived in a world my whole life of trying to help him get a better grasp on this reality. And when you see those around you that need your help and you're watching how this happens, there is a flip side to that that has a beauty to it that allows you to see the other side of this reality that you may not have ever been led to before. And I couldn't imagine ever not having that opportunity to experience the flavor of both sides of this reality because it is holistically a part of it. And we don't know how our story is being etched in the ether of whatever spirituality we subscribe to. And the only thing I realized, and I've realized this with Miles for a long time, but I also really got it compounded during the pandemic. We really are only in control of one thing in this life, and that's how well we love each other. Everything else is going to happen. There's so many things that come into our lives that are unexpected. Who would have thought the world would have ground to a halt the way it did? Because it wasn't one or two things that got affected. Our entire landscape changed. But the way that we interacted with each other was totally up to us. That was the test of free will as humans.
Yeah. Everything you just said, I'm like, yes, that perspective, that ability to see and to see the different sides of it and to expand in a way that then allows you to hold more of that and also distill what really truly matters while you expand into like, wow, like that experience with your son, it's very touching because you know you're walking it through with him and you're also allowing the space for him to live his story. And the growth that he's chosen, my belief, right, is that this from the soul perspective, we've chosen these lives we're living in, right? There's so that makes us innately equipped to live it, to move through it, hard as it may be, but it equips us for it. We came prepared. And so when I sink into that truth for me, it lightens everything because I trust that about my husband. I trust that about our son who's 7 right now going through this. And I trust that about me. And I hear the echoes in what you're saying in that experience because we're holding lots of different things and also allowing the space for each of us to bloom and to find the ways that our soul is like emerging and growing. And it's just it's profound and it's yeah, I resonate a lot with everything you said.
Yeah, it's the apex of the human experience, that's for sure. You know. So, who's been a hero for you, an inspiration in your life?
Oh my goodness. My maternal grandmother is an absolute hero. She was a woman who lived through, you know, a lot of hardship. It had 7 kids, 6 boys, and my mom, and she always had this innate optimism about her that was born from this truth of like, it just that to me is aspirational. I get chills thinking about her and like and feeling myself in like her presence when I went to her house and sat there and heard because I believe that the most the rat this there's this radical act that we can do. Like the real revolution has to do with our optimism, with our innate sense of how we see the world, and it's like we radiate out that, and instead of constantly responding to all this negative, you know, thing that like squeezes us in, it's like, yes, we are aware of it. We're not going to look away, but we are going to make this conscious choice to like radiate out. And optimism and hope are these things that unfortunately get bottled up in this world of, oh, you know, oh, isn't that cute? And oh, isn't that doesn't work? Or and for me, it's like it's just so innate. And so for my grandmother, I could feel that in her. And this joy of seeing everything through this lens of beauty and blessings and gratitude was really yeah, it was really formative for me. So she's the one that always comes to mind when I think about heroes, for sure.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the force of optimism and light. About 2 weeks ago, I went and saw a pianist. I have a jazz radio show, and there's a pianist by the name of Matthew Whitaker, and he's a prodigy. He's blind, he's 23, and he's unbelievable. He's a genius. He's unbelievably gifted. So we're watching the show. At one point, he starts playing What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. And my wife's
Wow.
crying. It's so profound because he's got like a Rhodes behind him, a piano and a synthesizer. But the thing about him is that he was so positive. The thing that was so beautiful about it, the music was unreal. It was like watching Stevie Wonder incarnate. But the fact that like afterwards he said, I want to meet everybody in the lobby. And I'm just like, get up in the lobby, and all of a sudden he's there. There's a police escort and he's up there. The thing that was so wonderful about him is that he's impenetrable. His level of light and being right now and not holding anything about his past into the present right now. He is this thing that no one will affect. And all he's going to do is spread this music and this genius. But he doesn't even see it that way, I don't think. I think he's just taking it all in because it's who he is. But wow, I have never in my life been to an event like that where somebody transformed. I mean, people were leaping up and people just didn't even know what to do. They were so moved. But the bottom line is that this creature decided in his life at some point that I'm going to do everything I can to just be okay and be optimistic and spill the light forward. And it was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to look him up as soon as we wrap this
Yes.
up.
Yes.
All my senses are lit up. The way you describe him, you are such like a poet incarnate. It makes sense that you're so like passionate about the things you are, because it's, oh my God, it like lights me up. That it's the word that always comes to me, and as you were saying it, is frequency. You know, it's this frequency that he chooses to like click into. And then that just reverberates. And what you said, like people didn't even know what to do with themselves. That is the disarming quality of being that impenetrable force that chooses to radiate out that frequency and making that choice by choice moment. Because his life is really hellish in a lot of ways. Like, you know, but that choice, it's a moment by moment thing. And the desire to create, to be a generative force in the world is just, I think, one of the biggest gifts that we all have. We all have the ability to generate something beautiful, whether it's a work of art like this guy, whether it's what you're doing now, or whether it's a conversation or words that heal, or a look that transmits love to somebody else. That, you know, I always take that like a litmus test in my mind, and I have conversations with my husband all the time about a variety of things. We have a podcast as well, and that's been talk about therapy. It's been our therapy for the past 4 years. But we always ask ourselves, is this generative, or is this like, does this take away? Is it something that like constricts or expands? Just how does that feel? And that in itself is a powerful just shift where, and all of a sudden, then whatever happens outside matters less and less and less. Because then the other unfortunate thing is that we are walking around seeking all this validation and sort of like people telling us, like, yep, you're right, you're on the right track, you're on the right track. Meanwhile, everybody's walking around blind. So, what kind of like that's where that like inner, okay, well, what is the thing that's moving me? Then that could be very disarming and like, what do I do with this? Kind of confusing, which has been my personal experience through a lot of this as well, is because people expect to find sort of a different kind of energy when they connect with me. Like, oh, you know, they ask me, I'm like, listen, right now I'm good. Am I sad? All the time. I am in grief and sorrow all the time. That does not go away. My heart has expanded to allow more light in, I guess, is what I can describe it. But people find, and for a while, I was like, what do I do with this? But then I realized, well, it may be confusing, or it may be like, huh, what's that? But that's okay. I'm I choose then not to, because the sometimes we can have this reaction to like sort of minimize ourselves and recoil back and like, oh, let me just rein it in just a bit so that I'm, you know, more palatable or people are more comfortable with what their understanding is of how you approach life. You may have this similar experience with your son. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Where people might be like, Joe, how are you dealing with this in this way? And you don't have to, you don't owe anybody any explanations. You just are. And people might be like, but that's not how it's done, or whatever that version is of their own understanding.
Yeah.
And it takes us being this like, okay, this choice, like this pianist to just,
that's it.
That's what I do. That's it. Yeah.
That's it. And then you can deal with it. Yeah. And I've lived that for a long time with them where
I have no doubt.
I mean, I've had people that have been with them and they're like, well, all these people were staring and doing this. It's like, I don't even factor it in. I'm just like, I'm out, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to rein it in the best way we can. But if there's this extra level of exuberance and all of this, it's like, you got to put it out there. You got to do it because we're not here a long time. And I'm 51 now and I realize the sun's setting. It's not rising anymore. So, you know, you just got to go for it. And people are going to do what they're going to do. And I think that's a part of living on this planet long enough is that you get a level of wisdom where it's like, what does it really matter at the end of the day? Everybody's so worried. It's like politics. I think that's the gag order I have for politics. It's so phony, man. And it's like, I can't imagine living that life all the time where you're constantly having to lie to cover a lie to cover a lie. And that's it.
Yeah. That's like a version of like hell on earth in some way. Cause what the heck? There's something, my husband and I have this mantra we've been using for a while, right here, right now. And a lot of what you said, you even mentioned it sort of part of it earlier. It's that, and what it means is obviously presence. It means not dwelling on the past or hyper-focused on the future, that grounded sense of, and that you don't have to take it all in also. You just have to be here and allow that each moment to like have its own breath. And in times where we need a little bit of a jolt, of a kick in the pants, because you kind of fall asleep a little bit, to recall and remind, oh yes, right here, right now. Like, you know, if we could bottle up the feeling of presence, like what you might experience when you're with your son, what I experience when I'm with my husband, and that sort of like the world kind of slows down and also like hyper expands at the same time. And that presence, if we could bottle it up and like give it to everybody, we would change the course of history, because all of a sudden it's like, you'd be like, oh, that's what it's about. That's new.
Yeah.
And it's cool that we get to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Cause
for
then
sure.
It like that feeling then becomes more commonplace.
Yeah.
And why not? It shouldn't have to be so sort of this isolated thing where it's, no, it should be how we speak to each other all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. There should be an honesty and a reflection. So let me ask you this. Of all of these things that you've done in your life and evolved into, what are you the proudest of?
I mean, my son comes up right away. You know, the greatest creation is my son, and the relationship I'm building with him through this, and the relationship, you know, he gets to build with his dad, but speaking for myself, I'm really proud of how I've shown up for both of them. I am so proud of how I've held this with such light and hope and truth and reality. I don't hide anything. I'm very aware of the path we're walking and what's happening. And I am really, really proud of the choices I've made to stay on this path and to keep, you know, that feeling almost like radiates into three things. There's like, okay, I'm really proud of how I've shown up for my husband, imperfect as it may be, but I am like my commitment to him and my love for him and my truth with him has been like blossomed even more with my son and how I've shown up for him as a mother and as a companion through this, because we're going through something really radically painful with his dad, my husband. And how I've continued to be there for myself, which took a while for me to find that pulse. because when we go into caregiver mode, we can just like hide completely in that scenario, in that situation. And that is a complete disservice, obviously, to my soul and myself and to them as well. And I went through so many layers of feeling guilty and feeling all these things, and the ability to like, to just to look up and go, no, 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 I'm going to continue to thrive. I will choose to thrive through this, was felt at first really, it felt uncomfortable at times to really like be in that, but to continue seeing it and to then see how it has only been for the benefit of all three of us.
Yeah.
And what I'm able to hold as just like, it's like a core of energy that then it just impacts the world around us.
Absolutely.
So yeah, these past 4 years are like this strange moment in time that feels like it's gone by like a flash, or also gone by really slowly. Like time has just ceased to follow its regular course and we're just like flowing with it. But I'm really, I have to say, I feel very much at peace with, you know, the thing when we're holding space and giving care for somebody who could be gone any moment, and that could be anybody.
Yeah.
I feel very much at peace whenever, you know, whenever the time may come, when it comes to my husband, and that is just amazing. I feel like I get to honor us rather than be in this deep grief of sadness, which no doubt is there.
Yeah.
But the honoring of, wow, what a love story.
Yeah.
What a ride.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very powerful and very like, yeah, like I want to own that. I don't want to shy away from that.
Yeah. I think it was from the Field of Dreams. There was a line at the end that James Earl Jones said that was like, the real travesty would be if it didn't happen. Something mm-hmm. along those lines. It was like a movie
yes.
thing. And that's the thing, you know, at the end of the day, we're given all of these options. And I was just talking to a good friend of mine this morning, and he lost his wife to cancer. Probably it's been a while now, but you know, he's still, you know, it's still something that he's working through. And it's like, if you guys wouldn't have met each other, that would have been the problem. But you
exactly.
know, yeah.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Yes, beautifully said. Like it's not about, oh, why did this happen? It's that I wouldn't have imagined a reality where I wasn't with Jules, with my husband through this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So it does not compute.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we have totally motored through this time here, but I want to make sure to get to the good business. If anyone wants to reach out, hire you, learn more about you, any of the good business, where do they go?
Oh my God. I love that. Thank you. This has been, what a dream. I'm like floating. So, my website, which will have a link, it's myname.com, mariaaleandra.com. I'd love to see you guys there. I'll send you my Instagram account as well. And I have a beautiful course called Elemental Magic, which is free. It has 4 classes where you can connect with the elements and get to know me in a different light with all these beautiful resources and things. And it's, I created it as like an oasis so that we can take a breath.
Yeah.
Especially I recently put it out in the world because it's during these times. I was like, what can I do to help? I was like, well, let's get foundational. Let's talk about earth, water, air, fire. Let's like ground into what's all around us and see it in a beautiful, expansive light. So
absolutely.
Thank you for that opportunity
yes.
to share.
Absolutely. This has been wonderful. Maria, thank you so much. Stay
yes.
strong. Best of luck with everything. Keep doing the wonderful work. It's a lot of light.
Thank you, Joe. Same.
Thank you. Take care. See you later.
Bye.
Into another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, music, and more from around the globe. Our esteemed theme music was composed and produced by the great E.E. Pointer of Kansas City's River Cow Orchestra. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.